What's up, New England Beyond? The Room Podcast this Wednesday night. Steve and Steve in the Room Podcast.
Hey, hold on. Where we got? Karaoke. Let's go. Let's go, guys.
Sorry. This thing's freaky.
Yeah. Tommy's giving me head right now. So welcome. Welcome Wednesday night. A shitty night in New England right now, or at least in Rhode Island.
Yeah, I was in Mass, too, when I drove up.
As terrible as it is here?
Yeah. Same shit.
I didn't even know it was going to rain today.
Yeah.
I walked out of work and all of a sudden, boom. It's like, holy shit. There
it
is.
Yep. It was nice yesterday and shitty today.
But it was kind of nice because yesterday I cut my lawn and I was going to put it aside until today. Yep. And I'm kind of glad I didn't because I would have never cut it. And it looked like a fucking hayfield.
A lot of people's lawns are in hard shape right now. It's beginning of the season.
Yeah. People let it go for a while. But as soon as this rain hits a couple of days, it's tomorrow these people are going to be in a forest. So. So Tommy,
what's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Had the week off last week.
Yeah. You had the full house in. That was cool. I was checking those guys out.
I like having that here. And
yeah, those guys are always animals.
Yeah, Sean Schubert was here with why can't I think of his name? Prince or I'm sorry, my man. I can't get your name right.
It's tough. We're not the best with names in this show.
No, of course. It's we're all faces here.
If we had notes, maybe it would be better. Like, hey, what happened to your gray hair? You look handsome in this one. Look at this thing.
I can't post old pictures and fake their new pictures because I have all this gray in here now. Yeah, so it's like people where'd the gray go? I could have went to CVS and got a little.
No, none of that. No, I'm going to get a haircut tomorrow and they're going to hack some of these grays off like normal. And people will probably think I dye it, but I don't.
You know what?
I'd never dye my hair.
Does your wife like you with the thick beard, or she like it trimmed out?
It's a little disgusting right now. She likes it a little trimmer.
Is there food in and shit like that?
No, I just took a shower.
Do you just scrub it out and find Hershey peanut butter cups?
I'm pretty good
in
with it. That'd be crazy, yeah. Sometimes some ice cream, you know what I mean? Like,
a couple of hot hairs in there. It's like, what's this on?
I don't drink much or eat much soup, so that's a plus.
It's definitely not soup, right? No. A little chicken nugget in your fucking in your beard there.
Ew.
But what my girlfriend does say is when she sees these fighters or you, she knows you train and stuff like that, on the podcast, she's like, these guys look so healthy. The hair. She always talks about the hair on you guys.
It's a good protein intake, and that helps.
Yeah, I guess
my nails get all long and shit.
I don't know what my problem is because I have a lot of protein. Maybe I got to throw a lot of carbs in there, too.
Do it.
No, what grows hair? Protein?
I don't know. Who knows? I take a vitamin, multivitamin.
Does it?
That's it. So I do.
A couple a day. Actually, I got some good hair. I just got a haircut last week.
Looks nice.
Went back to the fade.
There you go. That looks really good.
Out of the mohawk.
Yeah.
Out of the mohawk face. Okay.
You go to the same guy every time?
Every time. Yeah. Been going to him for 7 years now.
That's good.
Jay the Barber.
Very good.
Jay the Barber.
Yep. My guy.
Elmwood and Warwick Ave. That's my man.
I've been going to the same guy for many years now. He switched places. Courtney at the Craftsman Barbershop in Mansfield. He does me right.
Mansfield?
Yep.
Well, that's a whole
thing. He's the only man I ever let cut my beard.
Well, here's the thing about barbers. I feel pampered when I go in there.
Sure.
He scrubs my face with the stuff. I get a shave.
Yep.
It's the only time I shave.
Yeah.
I get a haircut every 3 to 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's the only time I shave. I might trim it up a little bit because I don't want to look, you know, like you.
Eye hair.
It's going in my mouth and shit. And I got to trim around the mouth.
Yeah, you got to take care of it. Does he hit you with the blade?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Close. Gets a hot towel, massages my
face. That's good. Oh, yeah.
Shooting alcohol on me, fan, nice cool fan on me.
Oh, yeah, that's good. It's good to take care of yourself
that. It is. I feel very I wish I could do it every week. And, you know, someday when I'm rich, I will do it every
maybe,
week. I'll
maybe.
Go for a lineup every week and a little shave.
Once the room is national.
Once the room is national, yeah. That being 2054.
Hey.
2024.
We're getting there.
Yeah, we are. 30 more years.
Yeah.
But so how's everything going with you as far as life?
Good. Went to the Foxwoods fights a couple weeks ago, representing the room.
Exactly.
That was awesome.
You went to CES.
Yep. With a bunch of my friends were fighting. Yep. That was awesome. They took care of us really well. Me and Jeff were down there sitting front row.
Did you you know, meet Jimmy Jr. and they come around.
Yeah, I met all those guys. Yeah, for sure. They were all being really cool. Told them where we were working, where we were good. They were happy. They all seemed like they knew and liked the Room podcast. Really? You know, they didn't go like this.
No one asked about Steve.
No, we kept your name out the mouth that night. You know, it was only Tommy that night. You know.
Tommy and Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff. We were sitting right next to each other. I mean, we walked in together. We hooked up beforehand to go in, so it was cool. He's always a great time and professional as hell, and we both just got it done that night.
Did you guys behave yourself?
Of course. You might have seen us ripping the vape cage side a little bit.
I didn't see that. You can't say that in Foxwoods.
No, we very briefly.
How'd you hide the vape smoke?
We didn't. We tried not to do it like that. You know.
How do you do it?
Just like blow it down. Yeah, we were getting a little reckless, so we stopped that. You know?
So let me just make sure we have sound here.
Yeah,
well, we do. Could you have drinks at the table?
Yeah, we were drinking beers.
Really?
Oh yeah. He would brought. Jeff loves snacks, so he had candy and shit. Yeah, it was great.
How much was a beer at Foxwoods?
Probably like $8 or something. A can. We were drinking Blue Moons.
Really?
Yeah, they had a little bar right there. Right. Yeah.
What, inside the place or right outside?
Kind of right outside the arena. Right, yes. There. Yes. That was my first time in there, and that was cool.
Yeah, it's nice in there.
Yeah.
That's the theater. It used to be Foxwoods Theater,
mm-hmm.
and I used to see lion fights there.
Yep.
And you were down in the pit, right? Mm-hmm. The cage is in the pit. You guys are set low, and there's like, you know, stadium seating.
Yep. One side stadium seating.
And on the right, it's like level.
Yep.
It goes up a little bit, but there's people level.
Yeah,
right,
a couple of my
cage.
Guys were up on the level of the cage, so I went up there, chatted with them for a minute. It was cool.
Awesome. Yep. So how was it being on your own as media?
It was good. It was really good. Got a bunch of pictures that you guys probably all saw. Yep. I know you saw them. Came out really well. I had my tripod there on kind of like this, like right on the desk, like right there. Boom. It was great.
Nice.
It worked out well.
I know Jeff from New England MMA. New England MMA's page got like mm-hmm. 5,000 followers on it.
Yep.
So their videos went viral.
Yep.
The dude from Rough and Rowdy from mm-hmm. your gym.
Oh, yeah, Damani.
Yep.
Sahib's
like,
8-second win.
Holy
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, that kid's
What's
an animal.
Next for him? I mean, he didn't break a
UFC.
Sweat.
Yeah, UFC for sure.
I would imagine, we'll talk further about, you know, them guys after we get done with Andrew Valdino, mm-hmm. who will be on when? Now.
Cage
in
Titans
a couple of minutes.
Coming up.
Let me message him. Tell him a couple more minutes, like 2 more minutes. But it was a great, you know, I've had my a little tug of war with CES in the past stuff like that. It's kind of over. It was more
they probably
about,
would have welcomed you.
It was more about, you know, not giving you the being able to do what you were doing the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get in trouble for that, but now they're kind of you know, letting it go.
They
realize that gets them views and
it
that
does.
Gets them.
Yep.
More fans.
And like I said, I was being very well behaved and we were not partying that hard. We were not getting cocked. You know, it was we were chilling. We knew we were sitting right fucking there and, you know, we had to be on the best behavior and we were.
And I know Jeff did the play-by-play, so that's great. People tune into that. And you guys were there like doing your videos, sending them out. I appreciate you doing all that and then uploading them and
it's
sending
fun,
them
dude.
Everywhere, tagging everyone that needed to be tagged.
Yep.
So
it's fun for me
you know,
too.
You're getting
so
cherry pop.
Yeah, I enjoy
basically
it.
Basically on your own that night.
Yep, it was cool.
Oh, I can't say that. Right?
Yeah, gross.
But we got Andrew Valdina on, who his fight was just announced maybe a couple of days ago. His opponent, his announcement that he was fighting for Cage Titans 65.
Yeah.
Was all set, but we didn't know who his opponent is. But Noah Abril from Hawaii.
Oh shit.
Dude, 2-2, coming off a win.
Okay.
In November. So he's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take on Andrew for 4-0. First time kids fighting in New England.
Cool.
Probably first time fighting on the East Coast. I think he's fought everything, probably in Hawaii a couple times.
No
and
doubt.
Maybe, you know, the West Coast over there. Or where's Hawaii? What side is it?
That's west.
Is it west?
Yeah, it's like
there?
Off Cali and
All
stuff.
Right, okay.
It's far west, man.
Right there. But like I said, a lot to talk to Andrew Valdina about tonight. Because
Hell
he's not only going in, you know, trying to get his fifth win, but he is a new member of New England Cartel and Tyson Chatrier and all those great
group.
Fighters. So that's a definite boost for him mm-hmm. as far as getting him, you know, out of this area and into maybe the Contender Series next year or something. Depending
the sky
on
is the limit.
How many fights he gets in. But this is his first fight in a year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say I think his last fight was May 27th of last year. So it's going to be a 2 days over a year since he's entered the Cage Titans cage or any cage. So we'll talk about the time off, what the growth and his excitement to be with the New England Cartel and this fight coming up and everything else going on with him. So
Let's get him on the horn.
Yeah. Well, he didn't answer yet, but when he goes, hey, yeah, we're ready, I'll give him a call.
Yeah.
But so as far as me, just still doing the same thing, going to see the bands, hanging out. I got a lot of friends that are in bands, so every week we're going to see at least a couple of acoustic
guys.
A lot of guys, people that play in the whole rock bands or cover bands, they also do acoustic gigs on their own or
one man or two
a duet or something, and it's really cool, they usually play the same songs but it's just an acoustic way,
a little more quiet,
and it's pretty cool. I'm getting my name out there as far as trying to get in a cover band. A lot of people shared getting in the cover band. We got the Bone Grind coming in here in a week and a half.
Coming in here?
Yeah, to do the original things.
That's cool. That's like a trip down memory lane for you, huh?
It is. Yeah. We're going to be playing probably 50 to 75% of the old songs.
That's
revamping
cool.
them.
Nice.
To make them a little more modern. Yeah, but they were, they were pretty modern ahead of their time.
Now, have those guys still been playing some songs?
Yeah, they're getting into it now.
Yeah.
This last month, they've been going over the things. They've been getting their equipment.
When's the last time you guys all played together?
These two guys.
Besides,
1994.
Holy shit. That's no joke.
20
man.
Years ago.
That's cool.
20 years ago is when the last time we actually, the last time we probably played out. Our last gig.
You had long hair?
I fucking had.
Yeah.
I had the locks. Bop, baby. Had some curls in it. Wasn't too bad.
Yeah, man. That's cool.
All right. So I'm going to give Andrew a call now.
Yeah, do it up. See what he says.
Because I'm anxious to talk to this guy. It's been a little while. Let's see what's going on.
Long time friend of the show.
It is. He is since, his first amateur fight. Since before his first amateur fight when he elbowed me in the face at the Tavern on the Wharf. What's up, handsome?
What's up, brother?
You can see us, right? Everything's good?
You see me?
Yeah, I can see you. Perfect. You're awesome. You're beautiful. You sound great. I'm going to put you on right now. And there he is.
Andrew Valdina,
the gladiator in the house. Andrew, it's been a little while, man.
It has, man. How you guys doing?
Awesome, man. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you guys. Tommy, I just saw your story on Instagram. I can't believe I haven't followed you yet. I just thought you were following.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm always posting weird shit. So check it out. You'll see all the weed stuff that I post.
I'm kind of a scumbag, huh?
Yeah, well, you're the fighter. You're not supposed to be following me.
Yeah, you got a lot of people to follow.
I try to follow all the good guys.
Yeah. Cool, man. I appreciate that.
Did you hear him? He goes, there's a lot of pot stuff on there. If you didn't know, Tommy works for a dispensary. He does a lot of stuff.
These are gross. Yeah, I'm a big weed guy. I've worked in that weed industry for many years. I'm in the garden and in all that kind of back of the house shit. So a lot of weed content on my page.
Hey, man, everyone over here, we all dabble. So.
Yeah, nice. Love it.
I mean, it's good for
fighting, jujitsu, weed. It kind of all goes together.
It's a great combination.
I just got to say, and your dad might be proud of me again, Andrew, but I haven't smoked or taken any THC form of any marijuana in the last week. I'm a week clean.
I do not condone it.
Damn.
Not that I was smoking or doing anything a lot since the last time I quit. I kind of cut down, but... it's time again. I think it's time again.
Listen to your body.
How are you feeling?
I feel great, man. Today is actually the best day I felt since I stopped. My head is, people say it's not addicting or it's...
It's
little
habitual.
Withdrawal.
Yeah,
there it's habit for me.
Yeah, there is a little withdrawal from it. It's like you're used to, smoking or whatever. But
yeah,
get used to, coming out of work and wanting to take a puff or something.
Exactly.
And then when it's not there, you're like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, especially, before bed or something, just to take the edge off. You're like, all right, but...
Yeah, I'm addicted, we'll say.
Yeah, Tommy's waiting. Tommy's got some in his beard right now.
Definitely.
He's gonna pull it out, but...
Yeah. Good hiding spot.
But Andrew, man, a lot to talk about, bro.
Yes, sir.
A lot. Not only the fight coming up on the 25th, you got new management. It's been a year since you hit the cage. I want to say, I was talking to Tommy before we called you. Your last fight, I do believe, was the 27th of May last year?
Yep.
So it's going to be a year since you entered that cage, man. Let's talk about this past year and the growth and everything about you. How are you feeling from now? From the last year in May.
I'll tell you what, Steve, time is an insane thing. Like I really do think it's just crazy to understand because say a year ago, right after I fought Will, right? At May 27th. you know, I was comfortable taking like a couple months off to, you know, rest the noggin a little bit because me and him were throwing back and forth a lot. You know, I was fine with that. And I was looking at maybe like a September, you know, comeback after that, you know. And then, you know, injuries struck and all these different things and which I just could never have like foreseen, you know, happening. I mean, like I just felt healthy as an ox and I was. It was just, you know, stupid shit that happened to me. And but I think everything happens for a reason. I've said this many times in the past year too, and I feel like I have like a way deeper understanding of that too after, you know, this whole fucking, you know, past year. So I took the time patiently after these injuries I had. I recovered properly. I had good family, good team around me telling me, you know, to, you know, slow my roll a little bit when I wanted to jump in, you know, sooner than I probably should have. I was always like, you know, itching to get on another card, like a January card, then a March card. And looking back, all those times I thought I was ready and prepared, it's probably for the best I took this time off just because of the injuries and all that. And I just think I've grown as a person, physically, mentally, spiritually. I'm ready to go at this point, like healthy as ever. And I'm just grateful to be in this opportunity to pursue what I love again. You know what I mean?
Well, my friend, every time you're on this podcast, it seems like, well, you do. You fight. You were fighting almost every Cage Titans card, mm-hmm. maybe taking a card off. I think you fought three or four Cage Titans events in a row at one time, man. You know, as far as, I mean, you said, you know, it's doing great for you taking that time off, but how did you, you know, psychologically, you know, kind of, you know,
downshift.
Keep that down, yeah. You know, because you've been in the cage so much from an amateur to this point, man. How did you turn that all around and stay focused, you know, this whole year?
Dude, it was tough. It wasn't, I'm not going to lie, it wasn't easy to just see all my teammates get into scraps that, you know, I wanted to be a part of on the cards and seeing them grind and stuff and me having to just kind of like take it easy a little bit. You know, it was tough at first, but again, man, I just really waited patiently. I tapped into, you know, other things I could do with, you know, with the little limitations I had at the time and shit like that. It was tough, but you know what I mean? We're here. The biggest reason it was tough is because like this is really all I do. You know, I think there's definitely benefits to, you know, to working along with this career and stuff like that, but this is literally all I do. And I think that I think it pays off to, you know, to have my mind only on this, even in these times where I had to be chilling on the bench a little bit, you know. So it's good. When I wasn't able to train, I was still in the gym watching, learning, taking notes and stuff like that. And I think I've grown in this game, you know, physically. I think I've grown a bigger fight IQ. So I just took a lot of pros in this quote unquote bad shit that happened. You know what I mean? I did all the things I possibly could, left no stone unturned in my downtime.
Well, here we are, man. A lot of things, like you said, happened in this year. Growth. Big thing happened that I just saw recently in the, you know, last two or three weeks. Joining the cartel. I know you've trained with all these guys, you know, for a long, long time. But now you are officially a part of the cartel. How'd that happen? And I would have figured, you know, you at some point you knew this was going to be where you wanted to be. And you're here now, man. Huge opportunity with Tyson. Ton of fighters fighting in the UFC, everywhere, PFL. A lot of your training partners in the UFC and champions around the area. How you feel about having that, you know, that backbone behind you now?
Yeah, man. Joining the New England Cartel, I've said this before, it's the biggest change I've ever done in my MMA career, I would say. And it's just a completely different atmosphere now at this gym I'm at. Every single person in that room is wanting to be at the pinnacle of the sport someday. We all have the same mindset. We all, you know, shed blood, sweat, and tears every single day we're there. You know, it's all business. And I think the path is crazy in the sport too. Like, mm-hmm. it's so unpredictable of like where you'll end up and everything. And honestly, if you asked me a year ago, I probably wouldn't even be thinking I'd be, you know, with the cartel or with Tyson, honestly. It's just the way that it all works. And, but I know I'm in the right spot. I know I'm on path still, and I feel really good about the position I'm in. I was nervous at first and a little like, I kind of just felt a little funny at first when I was leaving Lowe's and MMA and all that and joining new management. But like I said, time is crazy. And as time's gone on and the more, sweat and, hard work I've poured into that room with these guys that are all gearing up for their own fights and we're together, I've never been more sure that I made the right decision. And again, it's nothing against Lowe's MMA and it's nothing against Joe Lauzon. I love Joe Lauzon. I love everybody that's at that gym as well. They've all, I consider them all family still as well. So it's just a professional decision I made.
Now, you spoke about the gym. Now, the cartel has their own gym. I see it on Instagram and stuff like this. Is this like a secret bat cave kind of Fortress of Solitude place? It's beautiful when you see it, you guys all training in there. But is this a secluded place? Can you tell us a little about the gym and the atmosphere, because I've never been there and I have no idea where it is, but you want to talk a little bit about it?
The secret door in mom's basement.
Yeah. If I tell you, I'll have to kill you. it's cool. It's actually it's a cool spot. It's in Lawrence, Mass, and it's in like these mills right by the river. And, there's all these different mills you can go in. We're a mill, whatever we are, I think Jay, and we just go in the basement and, yeah, you go down this tunnel, man. It does sound like a little bit of a bat cave. You go down to the basement, you go through a tunnel, and boom, you're in the room. It's awesome. It's a huge, huge wrestling mat, like, space, and an even smaller area in the way back. So there's plenty of room to get all of our work in with all the guys. It's awesome. It's a good spot. You should come by sometime. Check it out.
I definitely will, man. Now that I know it's in Lawrence, at least I know what the town is.
Get some drugs.
All I can picture is Andrew going down the elevator and turning into the gladiator with the fucking sword.
I picture that too.
Do you feel that? Like when you enter there and you're actually getting ready to train and stuff like that, do you feel the gladiator coming out of you? You know what I mean?
No, man. First of all, we don't have an elevator.
I was going to say, it's probably a sketchy freight.
Mills, brother. Yeah. Lawrence Mills. So now we walk our way down the stairs and we go down the cold ass tunnel, dude. And then we get into the room and no, I don't feel any of that, dude. Because I know that these guys are about to kick my ass when I walk in there. Yep. So
now I would imagine there's some new guys in there that you might not have trained with, or is everyone in there a familiar face?
No, well, I mean, at this point, obviously, I know everybody, but when I first was going in there, there was a few people I haven't trained with. There's a couple of amateur fighters. This kid, Sean Nichols, he's actually fighting for Combat Zone in a couple of days, going for 3-0. And then this kid, Freddie, I think I trained with maybe one other time a few years ago. And he's also fighting for Combat Zone. Dude, we have so many people fighting this weekend and next weekend. I think everybody combined, it's like 7 of us. It's nuts.
Yeah, and I just noticed that Tom Pags has a 2-day fight. I mean, wasn't he supposed to fight at Combat FC or somewhere else? And then that fight fell through, and now he's fighting this weekend, correct?
Yeah, Tom's a gangster. He's like a fighter's fight. I mean, he is a true fighter. Like, he's been training his balls off, this entire time, even since his last fight, I would say. And he's more than ready. He's always in shape. He's always in check with his diet. So having a fight date that came up in short notice, it's nothing to him, it seems. You know what I mean? So he was supposed to fight Combat FC, like you said. Then that opponent pulled out. And now a last-minute replacement came up on, like, a couple days' notice. He's a gangster.
And he's done this before. I know he's had short notice fights before, and he's not afraid to put it all on the table. As we know, he's on the cusp. I mean, he's there too, as far as maybe a contender shot, maybe next year or something big in his thing. And he's not afraid to take a shot, because a loss isn't going to, put the dagger in your, put the nail in your coffin.
Nope.
It's just going to make you stronger. And as we see, there's UFC fighters all over the place that have had losses and still friggin' champions at this point.
Billy Goff last week.
Yeah, Billy Goff last week.
Everyone's talking about him.
Fight. Was that enough?
Everyone's
nuts?
Talking about him and that fight and how fucking he won instead of fucking,
Yeah, fight of the night, man. You can't ask for any more than that, other than the win he really deserved, I believe. Some of them scores. I mean, as far as a unanimous decision, I don't agree with that. But of course, I'm a Billy fan, New England fan. I'm gonna go his way. But as a fight, as a media guy, he put it to that dude, man. And, the first round with that, that illegal knee or whatever, and Nothing's called. Yeah. I mean,
forgot about that knee.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know what? So here's the thing. And Billy is a fucking dog, and he is.
Oh, he's so march forward the whole time.
Took a second after that knee to like, shit. You know what I mean? I got a knee. He didn't even flinch, and that's why I think the ref might have just let it go. But still, you are the ref. You are there to protect him. You don't know what that did to him, even though Billy is a dog. You don't know what that does to him, you know, further in the fight. You got to give him his time. Mm-hmm. But it didn't happen.
He probably could have got some time if he pulled a little Aljamain Sterling.
Exactly. Exactly. Little fucker, you know what I mean?
But they don't want the five. You know what I mean? They want to go. Billy wanted to march forward whole fucking time.
Fighter.
Yeah. Exactly. Have you ever...
fighting spirit.
I know he doesn't get around much, you know, your area or even in the Providence area, anywhere around here. Mostly Connecticut, but have you ever, you've never like run into him or anything like that as far as sparring or seen him, you know, where you guys are?
No, I've never had the pleasure of meeting Billy, but I know he's a dog. I've seen him fight a couple times live too. I think at CES I saw him fight Gary Botello or something like that.
Gary Belletto. Yep. That's, I think, when he won his first, the belt there at CES. Then he went on to fight, Sumter and won that 185 pound belt. And then he was in the UFC from there.
And Gary just got robbed on his boxing CES over the weekend. He got a unanimous draw.
Oh, it was a draw.
Yeah.
Oh, he actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he beat the shit out of the guy whole time.
Hey.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
God, usually CES, usually they get the nod for, you know what I mean? He's a CES guy. But, but as far as you, Andrew, man, let's talk about this fight. I know you. It's been rumbling, you know, Mike's been putting it out there, Cage Titans, that you are on the card and stuff, but now they're finally getting the posters out, getting the names of the opponents and stuff. You're Noah Abril from Hawaii you are fighting. He's a 2-2 fighter coming off of like a 25-second or 18-second guillotine back in November. Man, how'd you get this fight? I know that you're under management now, so they have a lot to say with who you fight and stuff like that. But how'd we get a guy from Hawaii, and what do you know about this guy, and how excited are you about him?
Yeah, I know why you're saying Noah Abril, because Cage Titans threw a typo in the caption. It's actually Abdil with a D.
Oh, okay. Cage Titans, you're fucking me. No, I'm liking.
but you know, I didn't contact Cage Titans to let him know. Fuck it. But no Abdil, man. I was just, the only way I got that fight was my manager now, my head coach Tyson. He texted me saying, "Hey, how do you feel about this kid?" I said, "Boom, let's do it." That's all that happened. And he's from Hawaii. I also just, you know, we were all on the same page when I said I didn't want some slouch. You know what I mean? I wanted not some easy layup fight to come back to. This kid's 2-2 from Hawaii, and Hawaiians, you know, they're usually tough as nails. They usually bring the fight. They want to scrap. They want to bang, and they got some spirit as well. So
BJ Penn.
BJ Penn, man, there's plenty.
Yeah, all the way.
So,
but they're not indestructible, and the gladiators come. but no, he's a. I got respect for him. I've seen the way he fights. I like the way he fights. He likes to scrap and get in there and put on a good show. So that's what we plan on doing. And I can't wait to get in there and shed some blood with him.
Now, as far as the cartel members or other training partners that you cross train with, How many other guys? You don't have to mention their name because Mike hasn't set the whole card up yet. But do you have other guys, training partners, going to be on the card with you?
Well, one of my main training partners, Joe Poirier, was supposed to be on the card, but his opponent just pulled out.
That sucks.
So we're still kind of hoping for like a last minute replacement. Joe's staying ready. His weight's still good. He's still, you know, getting his work in. So we'll see what happens with that. But as far as the Cage Titans card, I know Aaron Hughes comes to the cartel practices a few times a week, so he's on the card. I don't know about anyone else that from New England cartel, but real quick, Lowe's an MMA man. We got Alyssa Tatora making her debut in the MMA scene. And we got John Payne. Bring the motherfucking Payne train, dude. He's coming back and for his last walk, I believe. Oh, McDowell and Jack Congdon, man. This is a damn good card itself. This is going to be a good show, and everyone's going to be privileged to be at that event.
Now, the woman that's making her first trip to Cage Titans, is this her first amateur fight? Is this her first time in a cage, or has she fought before?
Nope, this is her first fight.
So she is fighting a real tough girl from, I think, the underdog camp, Matt Bassett's camp, and Justin Valentin, where they train. Amanda, I think her name is. I know her good. I just saw the poster the first time. I was like, holy shit. But this should be a great scrap. Women always bring it, especially when it's their first time in the cage, because, you know, the excitement's going in there, and women always bring it in there because they have to, you know, have to prove themselves in front of the men and the promotion, man. How excited are you to get, you know, one of the women you've cross trained with in that cage?
No, it's gonna be cool to see, man. When I was at Lozon, man, she was always there at the classes, the practices, man, like putting in work. So it kind of does. I mean, I know she's young, but it does kind of seem like it's a long time coming, because I know she's been itching to get into the cage for a long time. So. She's got a tough opponent, because that, you know, everyone knows that gym locally is like, you know, they just have dogs there, tough mm-hmm. people that bring a true scrap. So I think it's a good first fight to get her feet wet, man, and I hope she fucking loves it.
Well, my man, you are 4-0. You have, I do believe, 3 finishes. You have, now, you have a doctor stoppage. I think I talked to you about this on your last interview. Do you call this a TKO, a doctor stoppage? What is that in your book? Because when I put your record on, I have 3 subs. Should I put a 1 TKO in there or 2? Or what should that be?
I don't know. I don't know. I call it a finish at the end of the day.
Okay.
But like someone that's ineligible to continue, it kind of just sounds like it's a finish. You know what I mean? But I mean, I'm not going to, you know, bat an eye if you throw it in the KO.
Yeah, I would say technically a TKO.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like he tripped and broke his leg like Conor McGregor. I mean, you beat the hell out of him to make that doctor stoppage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I am interested in like how that is going to be, like, you know, moving forward, when, like, you know, because I got my, obviously, like, in a humble way, I got my sights set on a bigger promotion like UFC and stuff. So if all goes well, the way I see it in my mind, and I get there, I wonder how they're going to lay it out and label it, if it's going to be like a KO, TKO, or whatever.
Well, you know, Andrew, you know, when maybe you get in a contender series at some point, I mean, your record could be 7-0 at that time with, you know, 6 subs, or, you know, 4 subs and 2 KOs. So it might not matter at that point. You might have so many finishes that one little technicality might not make a difference. But
yeah,
I like the way you think.
The O is the best part of that. You know, keep that O.
Yeah, yeah.
Andrew's like, yeah, but I want that K. Well, here's my man. Hey, my man. So here we are. I think it's the 25th. I think someone posted we're 10 days out. So it's 10 days. That might have been you. That put 10 days out, man.
Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend. You know, I know you like to, you know, hang out after the fights. And, you know, I know you're clean through all this. But how do you celebrate on Memorial Day weekend after a fight coming up like that?
I mean, you're definitely going to see me at Tavern on the motherfucking
wall. Yep.
But, I mean, it depends how the fight goes, too. Yeah. I know in my mind I will win. But say it's a true good scrap and stuff like that, I'm taking some licks back and forth. Maybe I'm not going to celebrate with a couple of drinks, but I'll definitely have a joint in my hand.
Yeah.
Right away.
Zero calories.
Good food. Tommy, I'm going to have to find you, dude.
Yo, I'm going to be there, I think. You know, I got the Combat FC the night before with my man John Duma, but I want to go to Cage Titans the next night, too, because that's the fucking home, and I love it there, you know?
Yeah, dude, you should be there.
I will be, because this guy's not.
I had to give Tavern on the Wharf a little, you know, a little, give them a little love.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are fucking awesome, and they put on a great, great party for Cage Titans, man. And if people didn't know, Andrew, I think that was that the first time I really met you and started talking to you, when I think it was even before your first amateur fight. You were sitting at the bar. You might have been with a couple other Lozon guys, and we started talking. And you had a couple of drinks in you, and you're kind of laying in my ear. I gotta get on your show, whatever.
Yeah,
then you gave me a little short elbow to the chin.
Oh man, that was that night.
Yeah, it was that night.
Oh, damn.
I've heard this story.
That was the first elbow I've ever landed in Plymouth. But, dude, I remember that night as much as I definitely had a couple of drinks when I was talking to you, but I do remember that night. And I think I was talking some big game, like, oh, you got to get me on the show, man. I'm going to be great. I'm going to blah, blah, blah.
Yo.
Like, no, your little amateur ass up. Mm-hmm. What are you saying over here?
No, I was eating it up. I was like, I felt it from you. And then I think you did come down here, but you were with a couple other guys. And
I was
you,
with Andrew Jacobs and Pat Gilbride.
There you go, my man. And I don't know if you had a fight then. You might have had one then. And now you, I mean, you're 4-0. I mean, it's full circle, man. You know, since that time and now, man, I'm not going to say what have you learned, but, man, it's been it seems like an eternity since that time and now, man, huh?
Yeah, no, it really does. Like I said at the beginning of this talk, man, like, time is crazy. It's so unpredictable, and so is the path that, like, this whole MMA journey is on. And I emphasize journey, man, because, like, when you ask me what I've learned and stuff, I'm not going to go into everything, but, dude, I don't even see this as a sport. I really do see this as a lifestyle and an absolute, like, just true journey of just trying to just better myself as a martial artist. So I'm very grateful for MMA, what it's given me, all the people I've met, you know, including you guys, teammates, you know, like, just learning about myself through blood, sweat, and tears and sacrifice, man. So this was, I'm very grateful that I'm staying on this path, man, and I can't wait to see where it takes me.
Well, let's talk about the hall, bro. The 25th, the Coliseum is going to be lit on fire, man. How excited are you to get back in there, man? It's going to be a year, just a year. I think I'll have to look at it, but it could be exactly a year since you've been in that cage, man. How are you feeling about it? Is there any little nerves getting back in there as far as, you know, the crowd? I know you're not nervous about fighting, but, you know, getting back in there and just hearing that crowd roar for you.
I don't know if the crowd is like, obviously the fight nerves are always there. Like, I think to the day I retire, I'm always going to have the fight nerves. Thankfully, I really do pray I do, because I think that's what really keeps good fighters on edge and ready to perform at their best, when they have those nerves. But as far as the crowd goes, I don't think those are nerves. I think what I feel when I'm, like, thinking about getting out there for the crowd, as much as my focus truly is only on Noab Dill and doing what I know I'm going to do to him, the crowd is always bonus. I love everybody there. I love Plymouth. I love the town, man. They've given me some of my best nights of my entire life. And it's more so, like, eagerness and excitement to just kind of have them all see me back out there. You know, it's not really nerves.
Is there anything that we have to that we are looking forward to? I mean, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but you do always have a celebration after a win, after a finish. Is there something you're working on that you know, might dazzle the crowd after the fight, or is it just spare the moment? When it happens, it happens, and it, you know, it's not rehearsed.
Yeah, we don't rehearse celebrations. Nah, we'll see, man. We'll see. It's probably going to be a spur of the moment thing, how I'm feeling, where the body is, you know. So it's going to be a spur of the moment thing.
I could see Tyson Shadi is sitting there with, you know, the gladiator helmet just put ready to put on him when he.
Well,
that's not that. Rob Pico's bringing a couple gladiator flags he bought.
There you go,
of course,
man.
Rob is.
Rob Pico's on right now talking about how excited he is to see this fight. We know that
you're. Love you, Rob.
Yeah, Rob, you know, number one fan there, sits front row, brings a ton of people to support Cage Titans, a great asset to, you know, the promotion. Go ahead.
So, Andrew, you talk about, you know, change of management, change of team, a lot of things going on. It's pretty cool still that you're just going to go back to the Cage Titans, the home, the hall. So that's got to be a comfortable setting for you with all the changes that have been, you know, that one consistent thing is Cage Titans, Plymouth, fucking the place.
Oh, yeah, 100%, man. All these different changes that have been going on, like you said, one of the only consistent things is the halls, the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. It's Cage Titans, man. It's the crowd. It's that small little cage. And I love everything about the entire scene, the entire event. I love the weigh-ins, man. Mm-hmm. Everything about this event is like what I die to do.
The whole week coming up.
What's that?
The whole week leading up to it, they have a lot of events.
Leading up everything, man. They do a really good job of just promoting all their fighters and stuff. And I'm really looking forward to reaping all the benefits that come with that. And just keep leveling myself up through their ranks as well. But as much as I love Cage Titans, man, this is no knock to them at all. This is no knock to Paul Bear, none of that at all. I think this year I'd like to spread my name a little bit more through the region, sure, and travel elsewhere, maybe get some fights for Combat FC, Combat Zone. Kind of just spread territory a little bit and get myself out of that comfort zone a little bit, because I am super, super comfortable in there, as you'll see on next Saturday.
Perfect. That was going to be my next question. I know you're a hot commodity in the fight business here. We know you're a Cage Titans guy, but as we know, Mike Pulver is a very fair promoter and owner. He lets, you know, his kids, because you guys grew up with him, but he wants the same thing for you guys as you want for yourself. He wants exposure for you. He wants you to get that work, because you're going to be representing New England in the bigger promotions, no matter if you fight for Cage Titans, CES, Combat FC, Combat Zone. But he's always willing to let, you know, take the leash off and let you guys go. With that said, I'm sure there has been other promotions trying to get you matchups or hitting you up before this card. Was there any thought at all maybe fighting somewhere else if they had gotten you a good matchup? Or was it Cage Titans on your mind, you know, for this year or for this first fight back? And then maybe you'll spread your wings a little bit.
Yeah, I was getting offers from different promotions and stuff. In particular, Combat FC, like Joe Tad, he was hitting me up a bit. But he was hitting me up when I had all these injuries going on and stuff like that, too. So I kind of had to tell him, like, I need some more time and all that. But, dude, like, I've been to their shows. Plenty of you guys have, too. I've been to Combat Zone as well. Like, all these shows are really leveling up their game.
Yes.
And they're all just really just having a way better show than they have in the past, in my opinion. Like, the new arena for Combat Zone is sick, SNHU. Combat FC in Wilmington, that's a hop skipping away from my neighborhood over in Drake and Mass up there, so I can get a lot of pull. But in my mind, if I'm being honest, my quote-unquote comeback fight since May 27th, I did want it to be at Cage Titans. I wanted to be back home. It kind of left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth, like leaving like that, when I wanted to have one more fight in like late 2023 for them, and then, you know, shit happened. So, no, Cage Titans is definitely on my mind for the comeback.
Well, we know you always have the Coliseum packed, and you always have a side. You have your side. I always see your dad. It's always on the media side that, you know, we have our table on. What are you expecting as a turnout? I know you're going to get a ton of fucking views on the stream, but as far as a turnout, you always pack the place. The place is always roaring. What are you looking for now as far as a turnout? I mean, tickets are out there. I mean, it's still 10 days left, but how's that all going, and what are you expecting as far as you know, turnout and support, same as always?
I think it's going to be a huge turnout. I mean, as far as my ticket sales go, they're going pretty well. You know, I've sold a decent amount. It's about on average about where I usually sell, maybe a little bit more at this point, slightly more. So that's good. I love that. And of course, I got all these people, man, like hitting me up fucking, you know, a week and a half out.
Of course.
You're probably going to hit me up on fight week for tickets. Oh, yeah.
The day of your fight, you're like, not like you have anything better to do.
A couple
of
days before.
I'll tell you what, though. Usually in the past, man, I've always been very agitated with that, as any fighter would. You know, they're focusing on their diet and stuff. But I'm just so, I swear, I sound like a broken record, but I am so damn grateful just to be back in this situation and ready to perform my fullest potential. I don't even care right now, man. If you want to come to the show, I appreciate it, brother. And you guys are going to see some good ass combat.
Well, a couple more questions about management. What does that do for you? I mean, I'm sure it takes a lot off your, you know, your plate as far as, you know, I'm sure you do a lot of stuff yourself. Maybe Joe helped you out with little things here. But what does a management behind you, like Tyson, help you along as far as getting ready for a fight? It must take a lot off your plate and a lot off your mind, and just being able to focus on, you know, fight night and making weight, right?
Yeah, I mean, Tyson's been awesome. He's a great coach, truly. You know, aside from the management, really quick, Tyson, you know, he's always at our practices, and he just says the right things. He puts us through hell and makes us really work and have that no-quit mindset, and I'm very grateful for that. He really cares about his fighters and looks out for their best interests while making sure they're grinding and busting their ass in there, all business like that. So I really appreciate Tyson opening his doors to me and stuff, you know, in the past year, and, you know, let me grow as a fighter. But also, dude, as management, like, nothing really has changed too much, only because, like, the switch to management was after Connor's fight, which was March 31st, so it was almost short time to have any, you know, big impacts for a new management to do. But what he's done, you know, he got me a matchup and it was easy. And I said yes, and that's how it went. But I know in the future, man, you know, he's going to help me out with sponsorships and stuff like that moving forward. And looking out for my best interests, trying to get me new opportunities and stuff like that. And I'm really excited about where we're going to take this thing.
Well, another huge, another huge thing about this is that you have UFC fighters in your camp. So you get to go to Vegas here and there. I'm sure you've been there, but have you been there recently, like in the last few months, as far as getting some work in there and being able to go? Because I know Tyson takes a lot of his fighters. When fighters are fighting, he'll just take a group of fighters just to help them, you know, get acclimated there and get them some work with some familiar faces. But have you been there recently? And I would imagine if not, you'll be going there after this fight and getting some work and meeting some people there.
Man, I've yet to hit the West Coast. I haven't been to Vegas yet with the boys. But the last trip they went on, I was coming off my injury too, so it was kind of just bad timing and stuff. But yeah, that's a huge asset to have, especially, you know, Conor Matthews being in the UFC. Now he gets access to the PI and can bring two people and stuff like that. And, you know, all the other fighters that are going on these trips, they can all bring a couple people. So yeah, having the PI is going to be a huge, huge asset to the game. I can't wait to get out there. I've heard nothing but good things.
Excellent.
I just heard today that they're going to be doing not so many fights at the Apex anymore because it's so small and the crowd and all that kind of stuff, which I like that. I like being able to hear the coaches. I like being able to hear the fighters when it's a smaller venue. But, you know, some of the fighters don't like it being so small.
Yeah, it's like a whole different type of, you know, atmosphere. It really is. I mean, you're going from everyone screaming the balls off to absolutely just hearing impactful punches and fucking hearing your coaches. That's really it. So
I think both are beneficial.
Yeah, definitely. They're both.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think it actually would be a cool experience to fight like in that atmosphere.
Yeah,
at least once.
Well, it could be the Contender Series because they're not going to change that. I imagine.
Oh, true.
I mean. So that might be the opportunity coming up. You know, if not this year, next year for you with how many fights you get in, man. But what's your outlook? We don't want to get ahead, but you know, the outlook of this year. You got new management and stuff. This is your first fight back in a year. Are you looking to stay, you know, busy? I know, you know, you're trying to get him as many fights as you can under your belt to get that record up. But now you got to be a little more careful. You have to pick and choose. You can't just jump in there. You want to get ready for these fights. But I would imagine you're going to try to get one or two more in by the end of the year here, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say on paper it sounds about right to have about two more fights after this. But I take everything one fight at a time. And, you know, after I get this finish, man, I'm going to just take the time I need, you know, to see how the fight went and everything like that, go over any mistakes I made. And I think just take my time intelligently and figure out when I'm going to get back in there. But if all goes well, man, I'm looking to get in there soon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and keep my weight down and maybe head down to a catch weight at 130, make my way down to flyweight eventually, you know?
Holy shit, my man. Well, before we get to this finish talk, because you always have a prediction with me, a few of them have come, right on the money to it, Andrew.
You were on the money last time.
Well, I know you, man. I know you. I mean, you talk the truth. You know what's going on there.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, that last year, that last fight and the injuries and coming off, how does the body feel compared to the way, you know, it felt? I'm sure you fought with nagging injuries that you had to get fixed, you know, in this past year. What's it feel like now? How's the body performing? And what's different about it, if anything, this year compared to last year?
The body feels great. There's absolutely no injuries going on. And I say that with the God honest truth, you know, because nobody, whether you win or lose, really cares or even wants to hear after the fight if you had something going on in your fight camp. You know, it kind of just sounds a little funny to say, oh, well, you know, this happened and this happened, so that's why I didn't fight the way I should, you know, shit like that. So, like, I don't want to sit here and do that, but I will say in almost all my other fights, man, I've had some type of shit going on. I can proudly say, knock on motherfucking wood, dude, that right now we have no injuries, truly. And I'm very, very grateful for that, man. This is going to be a fresh, fresh gladiator coming to that cage with the only thing on his mind is the fight itself. Nothing else is going to be on that in that mind. And I'm just going to do what I know I can do in a healthy way.
Well, I know there's only 10 days left, so I would imagine most of the hard sparring is done. I did see you today on Instagram mentioning today was your last day of your last session of strength and conditioning. I know that's something new that you added to your game. Well, in the past year or so, what's left in the next 10 days as far as training? I know you have to cut weight the last week and get all that, but you know, in these last maybe 4 or 5 days, what's left to do to prepare for this fight?
Yeah, so I'm going to have my last, the rest of this week is going to be like my last hard sessions. We had a good practice today. We're kind of tapering down a little bit, you know, a couple percentages here, but it's still good work. We're still, you know, grinding. And then I'd say maybe Sunday is when I start to really, really taper it all down, just get the diet, you know, keep on to my routine for fight week diet, and just get some good little sweats in here and there throughout the days. Taper down, turn on cruise control, and let the body recover fully.
Excellent. Do you know where you are in the card? I know the card hasn't all been thrown out there as far as officially, but do you know where you're fighting as far as, you know, in the, you know, in the main card there?
I looked on their website. It says I'm third to last right now.
Oh, okay. Nice. Is that something you like, or do you like fighting a little sooner than later?
I mean, I think there's pros to both. It's cool to fight sooner than later just because you can, you know, get it out of the way, start reading all the texts and shit, get that shit done sooner rather than fucking midnight. But I think it's perfect where they placed me so far.
Yeah, it seems good right middle card, you know, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. I'm climbing the ladder a little bit, trying to, and you know, and learning how to, kind of like, I'm going to learn how to pace myself through the night and not blow my load in the warm-ups and stuff too soon. So this is just a new little challenge that I get to face here. And I kind of like it. I get to wait a little bit longer, be more patient.
Now you mentioned, I'm going to let you get in there too, Tommy. I'm sorry, you know.
You're good.
But you mentioned maybe, you know, working your way down to 125 down the road. You know, is it a big weight cut now for you to 135? Or is it, you know, a pretty walk in the park that you can, you know, get down to that 125 down in the future?
I mean, getting to 135, I think is, I got it locked down pretty and dialed in pretty perfectly. I think I perform so well at 135. Honestly, I feel good. I feel sharp. The diet isn't anything too like constricting on the mind. You know what I mean? So I get to focus a lot on just the martial art. And that's what I really like about bantamweight. How all my fights have been, except for my first one ever. But, and I had a couple catch weights, whatever. But I just think my body type, I can kind of float to both. At 35, I'm hanging in there with everybody. I mean, the biggest person I've ever fought is probably Will Smith in my last fight. I saw after his fight, after our fight together, the day after, he stepped on the scale. He's like 174, it said, 175. Jeez. So, I mean, when it comes to size, man, I have no nerves about that whatsoever going into a fight with anybody at bantamweight or even at 45 because I've hung with somebody at that type of weight. So I just think that I can really bring something new to the table at flyweight too, and perform just as well if I do it smartly with, you know, a nutritionist and, you know, a good team around me to show me what to do and stuff. So I don't know, man. One fight at a time. Focus on this one, but I don't be surprised if you see me working my way down in the future.
Excellent. Anything you got for him?
I know you're only focusing on fighting and punching people right now, but any other future plans on commentary? I know you were doing that at Cage Titans.
Yeah, I would like to do it. Yeah, I did a lot of commentary in the past year. Thank you, Paul Bear and Andy for giving me those opportunities. Especially when I like was on the sidelines, so it kept me busy, kept my name relevant a little bit, and that was awesome. I really do appreciate
Hell yeah.
that. It was cool, and I felt like I was getting a little better at it with each show that I did too. But right now, like you said, I'm focused on punching and kicking and elbowing and knee and all that good stuff. I kind of want to like just keep my gear on that for almost the rest of the year. Honestly, I just got a lot of shit that I want to unload in that cage, man, and just fucking, it's all bottled up in the past year that I got to let go in the next, the rest of this year. So after that, man, get me in that booth. Yeah. I love doing it.
Yeah, media is fun.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Look at you guys. You guys love it.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't even have to get punched.
No, exactly. I don't have nothing. I just get yelled at every so often.
Yeah.
Hey, a couple more questions from me, Andrew. As far as this card coming up, we know, the Gladiator always sells a place out. What fights are you looking forward to seeing on this card? Not that you're going to see them because you'll be getting your shit ready, but what fights are you excited about, happening on this card other than your own?
I actually watch a decent amount of the fights while I'm getting ready for my own. I like to, the first like few fights of the undercard, I like to go out there in the upper balcony and sit down with the crowd and kind of just watch some fights, get myself adjusted to the loudness, the smell of the crowd, you know what I mean? Everything about it,
that
man,
makes
I just
sense.
Like being involved in it. And but honestly, to start the night, which I will be sitting in the upper balcony getting ready to watch his banger, is fucking the first Amy Small Glove Muay Thai. That's going to be sick. That is going to be so sick. The pro one they did with Sean Schubert was unbelievable. And I think the crowd is going to be bonkers for this one, especially to just start the night off like that. So I'm looking forward to that one. I'm looking forward to the main event with Jack Tongan and Piersma. I got, obviously I've cross-trained with Jack plenty of times, and he is no joke. He's a legit contender. And I got a lot of respect for Piersma, just the way he conducts himself. I like how he fights as well. I think he's intelligent. And I'm looking forward to seeing the styles clash a little bit. And nothing against Piersma, but obviously I'm rooting for my boy Jack. We've got plenty of training together, man. And I'm looking forward to those two fights, I'd say.
Very intriguing fight is one of the guys that you mentioned, at the start of the show about Aaron Hughes that trains, comes in, gets some work at the cartel. Also, he's taking on Kenny Champion, who they fought as featherweights, I do believe, for the amateur featherweight championship for Cage Titans. It didn't go Aaron's way, but I think it was a 5-round war. Man, that's going to be a great fight. What a great story right there, bringing that back, I think, after 5 years. What are you expecting in that fight? Not win or lose. What do you expect as far as fire in that fight? Because you have worked with Aaron, at the cartel. Yeah. What are you thinking about that fight?
Honestly, thank you for reminding me about that. Nothing against Aaron here, but I definitely am looking forward to that one. We shared the mats together plenty of times in for this fight camp. He's definitely very, very motivated, very driven to redeem himself for that one and just redeem himself for the last fight. I bet you he has a bad taste in his mouth and really wants to get in there and show people he's more than what he's been showing. So I'm looking forward to that fight a lot. I have a feeling it might go very not result-wise, but I think the fight might go very similar to the way it was when they fought first. But I think they're both going to be a little sharper and more intelligent, too. I'm looking forward to that fight, actually. I bet you it's going to go the distance.
It's pretty cool because, as we said, they fought as amateurs, and there's so many things you can't do as an amateur that you can do as pro, knees to the head, elbows, all that other stuff. So they're going to be able to use all those tools. A lot of that fight was contested on the ground. And, as the ground and pound is a lot different from amateur to pro. So it's a whole different fight. They're totally two different fighters at this point. And it's a really exciting matchup. And, kudos to Cage Titans for putting that together. It's a great storyline. So, I'm looking forward to seeing that. But, Andrew, my last question to you, and I'll let Tommy leave off. But you mentioned the finish, and, I don't like to put you... Yeah, I do. I like to put you under the fire here. but, I ask for, a prediction about fights. Sometimes you give them, sometimes you don't. But you're talking a little bit about a finish here, and that's what we're expecting. I mean, you've had all finishes in all your pro fights. Technically one was a doctor stoppage, but you were finishing that fight.
TKO?
TKO. What are you expecting in this fight? And, do you have a prediction about this fight going against Noah?
So Noah is a very tough kid, what I've probably seen in his fights. I think he's going to be different than the last. Actually, I think his toughness is going to be very similar to Will Smith as well. I think a major difference between the two while being respectful here, saying that he's a tough kid, I think the major difference is the gas tank. Will Smith had endless cardio. You know, he was ready to go even in that third, but the doctor, you know, stopped that fight due to his lip being botched. But I think, you know, Noah's going to wear himself down a little bit. And I, especially with the pace and the pressure that I'm putting on him, with all my weapons of attack too, and my sound defense here. And I think it's going to be a later round stoppage. At first I was saying either round one or round two, but I'm thinking round two, round three, wear him down a little bit, you know, hit him with all my shit, drown him in deep waters, and finish him with a rear naked choke.
Excellent, my man. Well, he's saying rear naked choke, a submission. Would a KO satisfy you in this fight, or is it
I guess so.
On an off day.
Well, that would look good on the record, since, you know, there's an asterisk against that, you know, that zero TKO KO record right now, man.
He's a tough kid, man. He's a tough kid. He really is. You know, I've seen him take some shots in his fights, and he, you know, he doesn't even wince. He's coming forward still, wanting to stand and bang. So I'm expecting a later round stoppage. But a lot of the time, I do surprise myself a little bit, and, you know, we'll see.
Well, I can't wait until, you know, the after fight celebration, what's going to come out of you. But, Tommy, you want to ask him anything last before I let him give his sponsors and shout-outs?
We're just really looking forward to this fight to see you back, Andrew. It seems like, you know, it's a new gladiator, you know. So we're gonna see some cool shit, I think, and, you know, it's going to be a good year. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, sir, man. Definitely a new gladiator. The best way to put it, man, is I just feel free. I feel like I'm just going to be very free in there with some freestyle striking.
Excellent, my man. Yeah. Well, last thing for you always, man. I know you got a ton of sponsors. I don't know if you got them written down. You got something to throw up there, but you're pretty good with your memory and giving them all the support that they give you. Throw anything you want out there, man. Sponsors, then your social media. Ticket sales, how we get in touch with you. I know there's 10 days left till this fight, so
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans. He should be on. Look at this fucking handsome belt. So anyway, throw that out there, my man, and we'll let you get back to your night and getting ready for this fight.
Yeah, so my social media, Instagram is at Andrew Valdina, Facebook's Andrew Valdina. If you click the link tree, you'll get to my OnlyFans.
Yeah.
But no. It's
asking for a friend. What's that again?
I'm very grateful for all these sponsors, man. They've all helped me, you know, get to this point and supported me in the past year. And I really appreciate it. So all these sponsors, man, Invisaware, they've been with me since day one for my first AMI fight. They've been absolutely great to me. And their company is like, they'll have clothing and different jewelry pieces that have a hidden little button in a little hidden compartment that has a button in it. And if you press it, feeling a little, you know, scared at night coming out of a bar, you're injured, you can't have any, you know, your phone's not you and stuff like that, you'll press that button, the emergency services will come right away. It's a great gift to get your loved ones and your friends.
It's a crazy world out there.
What's that?
It's a crazy world out there, so that seems very handy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Actually, I'll try to keep this in a nutshell, but my older sister actually had an incident where she was, like, on the highway in a winter storm, and, she hit a car, but in her... She was outside of the car, or she hit a guardrail. That's what it was. She hit a guardrail, and she was trying to get out, but she broke her femur, and she couldn't find her phone and stuff. But she had an Invisaware. She clicked the button, emergency services came, and she was all over the fucking news for it. It was crazy.
That is crazy.
But Face Off Fight Co. is the next sponsor. They've been very loyal to me as well, supporting me and a couple of my teammates through our careers. And they have great jiu-jitsu gear. We actually just came out with my own rash guard and fight grappling shorts, Gladiator Season apparel. They got blood splatters all over them. They're sick.
Nice.
Anything you order off that website, it's literally just fofco.com, FOFCO, and use Valdina at checkout for a percentage off your order. Drake and Exhaust and Break, they've been good to me for the past few fights here, and they're located in Drake and Mass. Gifted Peace is a candle company that my two college wrestling teammates, like, founded, and it's crazy to think that my two teammates made a candle company, because they did not seem the type whatsoever, but they gave me a little welcome package, and I got to try three different candles. They gave me a room spray, and they even made a cologne. So they're doing pretty good over there. They like to go to all these different fairs in the region as well and try to spread their name that way. So definitely look them up. And then finally, Bono Appetit Meal Prep. They're a meal prep service, you know, service in, I think, all of Massachusetts and New Hampshire. And they have the best meal prep in the East Coast, I'll tell you that much. So I'd say that's it for right now.
Excellent, my man. Well, I know there'll be a ton more towards year end with joining the cartel. And as we said, Tyson Chatier, a great manager, great coach, and yep. You know, just a great guy to guide you along, man. So congratulations, man, on everything this past year, bro. It's been great catching up with you, and we can't wait to see you on the 25th going for that fifth win and fifth finish at Cage Titans, man. You're the man, Andrew. Mm-hmm. Always give me the time, always give me the respect. I love you, kid. You're doing great things. You got a great family, great support system behind you, and it shows on everything you're doing and the way you you carry yourself out there, bro.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that a lot, man. But no, you give me the time, brother. Both of you guys. I appreciate you having me on. As you know, as much as I want to get on here and stuff, and you know, grow my brand a little bit. So thank you, guys. Shout out to the fam, like you said. That's my number one support system right there. They've done so damn much for me in the past, man. Especially recently. So thank you all. Thanks to my coaches. Really quick, Pete Luciani, Tyson Chatier, Joe Lozon's giving me some help. Connor Matthews, Joe P, everybody at Cartel. SOS, Coach Derek, Coach Mike, and it takes a village, man, and you guys are all going to see the results of a lot of hard work from everybody involved on May 25th.
Last thing, do you run around the cartel, Matt's there spraying some of that candle spray, and some of that room spray in there?
You should, man. It smells like a fucking
kick out
there.
Tyson be like,
honestly, I'll try to hook you guys up with a room spray in that room, because I bet you it gets a little musty.
Yeah, it's a little musty, right? Tommy just came from fucking Triforce, so he smells a little like a gorilla right now. So
yeah. It smells like testosterone in here, whatever.
Which, you know? I don't have much of at my age, but I get, you know, I'll take the candle spray. I'm out of it now. But Andrew, man, always a pleasure catching up with you, man. You have a safe rest of training camp, bro, and we'll see you on the 25th at Cage Titans 65. May 25th, Cage Titans,
yep.
Plymouth Memorial Hall. The Coliseum will be on fire for this guy, the Gladiator, making his return after a year off. Man, as always, brother, thank you for the time, man. Love you, kid. You're a great asset to New England MMA and the fans, and just the region there, getting us out there. And, man, love it, kid.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys a lot.
Have a good night, man.
Let's go.
Yeah, we're going to throw your poster out while you're getting out of here. But you have a good night, Andrew. Thank you for the time, man. We'll see you soon.
All right, brother.
Later, buddy.
Later. Well, there's his poster right there. Abdil. So they got the poster right there. What did I say?
Maybe they changed it.
They did. They made a new poster.
Yeah, they corrected it.
We'll give Noah his props right now. But that is the Cage Titans poster, which is all their posters are starting to come out now as far as the matchups. If you want the true card, I know Tapology doesn't have it yet. And looking on social media, you just see posters like this. But if you go to cagetitansfc.com, you will get the full fight card. You'll be able to, you know, get the stream from there. You'll be able to buy tickets from there. You get to read about the card. Fighters, everything that you need to know about Cage Titans 65.
Just go down there. It's going to be such a good show. It's such a good time down at Cage Titans on fight week fight day.
It's going to be hell down there because it's going to be a holiday weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of people are going to be out. Hopefully there's good weather because that'll just mean it's going to be awesome time.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. You know, if you've never been to a Cage Titans show, you have to go, man. As I always say, I mean, you know, I might be a little biased with them, but Cage Titans is, in my opinion, the best promotion in New England.
I agree.
As far as, you know, supporting the fighters, doing great things on social media.
Consistency.
Yeah, and the fucking event itself is...
The hall is meant for fighting.
It's like a UFC event on a small scale. It's just amazing what they do. And Mike leaves no stone unturned when he's there. He doesn't care how much it costs. It's all about the fighters and getting that product out there because down the line, you know.
They got the Cage Titans beer right there.
Everything. You know? Everything.
Yeah, all the things.
I don't know what they're coming. I don't know who's
going
to be
on. That's Shane right there. Shane Dillahay.
I don't know who's going to be on the cans, what kind of new products they're going to have to drink. But let's get a whiskey. Let's get a whiskey.
Now you're talking.
Let's get a sipping whiskey.
People might get crazy in there, though.
But they're already fucking
They did the vodka last time with Ty Law.
Yeah, Ty Law.
Yeah. So but they were all drinking
they
vodka.
They were just giving like the shots. He was giving the shots.
He was promoting it.
They should have a sipping whiskey or something or some kind of drink with we'll see.
I'm going to get on the horn with
Mike,
Paul there.
Mike is a business guru.
Yeah.
He's a marketing genius. He'll figure it out. But I'm an older guy. I'm into sipping whiskey now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that little that little sip of whiskey.
Right next door to Triforce, Working Man's Distillery.
That's right.
Yeah. So they're cool people.
One of the owners there used to be a photographer for Cage Titans.
Yeah.
Kelly, I think her name is.
So the guy that might be their husband is a trainer. He trains at Triforce.
Yes, I know he still does. He's still going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're right across the street. Yep. I know. And I know what they have food from there or something.
Something like that. I haven't even been in there yet. So
yeah, maybe I'll have to go.
All good things. Let's do it.
I might have to go in there to do that
after you come and train.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. with that said, Tommy, anything you want to leave off with?
No, it was a great time being back. Andrew Valdina is a great friend of the show and a beast. So I'm looking forward to his fight. I will be at Combat FC that Friday to see my man John Duma defend his title over there. So looking forward to that. That's going to be a great time. I will be there representing the room. So.
Excellent. Well, it is a holiday weekend. Yeah. I have to work. I might have to be working 12 hours on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So it's a 50-50 shot. I will be at Cage Titans. I don't know. It'll be tough for me because I have to be back in work on Sunday morning. But I would imagine Mike Polvere will be on the show next week. Next Wednesday, you will be here?
He'll peer pressure you to go.
Yeah, he usually does.
Yeah, he
always does.
That's the one to do it. You know?
Yeah, so we'll see.
Doesn't have to be a crazy night. I know it's more of a drive for you.
I left early last time because it's the ride.
And it's an easy drive for me. It's in my backyard, essentially.
Yeah, and it's not a hard drive for me. It's a 55-minute drive, but it's pretty straight. And it's, you're going to Plymouth.
Yeah, 40 minutes for me.
It's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice. Pilgrims and shit.
Oh, everything.
Yeah, Plymouth Rock.
The size of my balls.
So, damn, on a good day, right? That was perfect.
I don't think it caught it, but it might have caught it. Mm-hmm. But again, Andrew Valdina, always giving the respect. One of my favorite guys out there. His family.
Yep.
Love his family. They always give me the props. His dad.
Salt of the earth people.
Yeah, his dad is awesome. And you could tell, like I said, through how this kid is, how he interacts, and how he carries himself. He was brought up very well. And kudos to the whole family. Kudos to Cage Titans for this card coming up. It's going to be a great card. There's some titles going on there. And, man, can't wait.
A lot of good shit
coming up. I'll be watching
it,
whether it's on my phone or I'm live there. But no matter what, we will see it. So if you want to see it, cagetitansfc.com. Mike Polvere will be on next week to give you all the info. And probably some beans about what will be happening. I know they probably have a press conference and
traditional fight week when he comes in here and talks with us.
You never know. I might be on Table Titans Monday. Who fucking knows?
Who knows? Time is a weird thing, like Andrew said.
And getting myself in trouble, as usual. But with that said, like I said, Tommy, next week the band will be in here. I'm still trying to get rid of this fucking kitchen table here.
Still right here.
I have a nice big kitchen table. If anyone wants it, I'm giving it away. If no one takes it, it's going on the fucking curb, and somebody will. But I need to make room in here. We need to put 4 amps and a PA system in this fucking place. And nothing will change between me and you because they don't see the table as it is.
Nope.
But everything will be on tripods, mics, and everything else. We got our gaming chairs, so it's going to be a kind of...
The room is going to be cool.
A laid-back kind of thing, but we're going to have a whole band here in here at the same time. But with that said, thank you so much for tuning in. Tommy, anything you want to say?
Last thing I want to say is we're going to some karaoke and Cage Titans and, you know...
Look at that fucking picture.
From Cranston. Let's go.
All right.
Let's go. We got the...